This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to The Line, Trek FM's podcast dedicated to Star Trek Picard. I'm Justin Ozer, and join with me today are my amazing co-hosts, Brandon Shematala and Chrissy Zalagi. Chrissy, how are you today?
I am doing well today. Just doing a little bit of back-to-school prep, but I am ready to talk some Star Trek.
All right. And Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I love Star Trek, and I love Star Trek Picard, and I'm so excited for it. And we get close. Every day it's closer.
I know. Yeah, and even though this one will likely come out before the interview that we have coming up, this is the first time we've actually gotten a chance really to talk about some of the news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con and Star Trek Las Vegas.
What
and
news?
I should also say...
What are you talking about?
What
news?
What news? Nothing happened. Don't worry, nothing happened.
No, okay,
nothing
good.
Happened. There was some very exciting news. I mean, in the meantime, we've released our first few episodes of this podcast, The Line. We've had a really great response. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us as we talk about Picard and Next Generation stuff and all of that in preparation for the show. There was some big news. We got a trailer out of San Diego Comic-Con, and also we know some other people from The Next Generation and Voyager that are coming back. Brent Spiner as Data, Jonathan Frakes as Riker, Marina Sirtis as Troy. We also have Jonathan Del Arco as Hugh and Jerry Ryan as Seven of Nine. I didn't miss anyone of the people that are returning, did I?
Boothby.
No, I think you're good.
Boothby? Oh. Yeah, he'll be there.
No, Ray Walston's dead. I don't think he can go back. Yeah. Technology, they can do anything nowadays.
So anyway, that's super exciting stuff. And, you know, in the midst of that, and this will segue into our episode today, Brandon, you had put out a tweet about episodes to prepare for Star Trek Picard. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I was fiddling around on Twitter one day, and I was just thinking, I'm like, what would somebody who maybe has come into Star Trek via Discovery, and they might not know the back history of Picard, what might five essential episodes be, again, based on the news that we have, that would prep them for Star Trek Picard? Because Star Trek is really overwhelming to get involved in when you're a new Star Trek fan, especially in this day and age. You know, there's six previous series. You know, we got the original, Next Gen, DS9, Voyager, the animated series, Discovery, did I even say Enterprise? See, it's in a list.
Yeah.
I get confused because there's so many.
Short Treks.
Short Treks.
Yeah, Short Treks.
Discovery. But where would they start to go into Picard? Because they don't need to watch everything. You know,
although they should if they have time.
If they have time, they should watch everything. Even I don't have time to do that, though, right? So I'm trying to watch Next Generation with my kid. I wanted to watch all seven seasons with her leading up to this, and then we got distracted by Lost. So we're watching Lost right now, and which is fine because I haven't seen it in forever. But which five essential ones do I think? And then there's been a lot of positive feedback on this tweet. So
yeah.
So what my tweet said was, Star Trek Twitter poll, which are the top five episodes that you think should be watched in preparation for Picard for new viewers? And then I started with my top five choices. And I had to cheat a little bit because, again, five is really hard. So I got a couple two-parters and stuff in there. But they're basically one story. So
two-parters count as one.
Yes, I like that.
For these purposes, we will. And also episodes and movies. So those are in play as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we called episodes and movies as one thing, right? Because it's just an installment. And, you know, Twitter only allows you so many characters. So
Yeah, so you did get a great response. So we thought, well, why not just talk about it on this episode and, mm-hmm. and our picks? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do today.
Now, I got a question for you. Do we want to go one person at a time, their list, and then the next person's list and the third person's list?
I think we should go one episode at a time.
One episode at a time? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So, there's going to be overlap. So
there will definitely be overlap. Okay, so then I'll put the caveat. Well, I guess there's no real order. I was going to say I'll put a caveat. They got to be in this order, but put them in whatever order you want. Who cares? Just watch Star Trek.
Yeah. So, all right. Great. Actually, Chrissy, why don't we start with your first choice?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, given what we found out from the trailer, of course, we know that the Borg are going to be involved now in some form or another, which brings us to Seven and Hugh and all of that. So why not start with the first introduction to the Borg, Q-Who? Admittedly, the Borg change as time goes on. You know, they're more interested in, less interested in technology, let's say, and more interested in certain people, which is going to play a part in this. But, you know, start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Plus, who doesn't love a Q episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great choice, and it is a great introduction to the Borg. I just rewatched it recently.
Good choice. Yeah, Q-Who's a great... I love how the Borg start in Q-Who. Q-Who is such a great episode.
And that actually brings up, too, I'm hoping at some point we're going to see Whoopi Goldberg in this.
Yes.
As Guinan.
Slightly off topic, but if we can get the story behind the two of them, that would be great.
Yeah, and also I was doing like a Borg rewatch recently to prepare for something, and I noticed that Guinan is in every Borg episode in TNG except for the Descent two-parter. So she's kind of very important to that Borg storyline as well.
Good point.
Yeah. Which I just hadn't realized it before. She is in all those episodes except Descent.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it until I rewatched it. So, but great choice to cover the Borg. Brandon, your first choice?
So I'll go in the order that I had on my list here on Twitter. Uh-huh. And so my first choice, I believe, is absolutely essential, is The Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and 2. I did pick both of them. And I think that more than introducing them to the Borg, I think Best of Both Worlds gives you enough of an introduction that you can come into Best of Both Worlds without having seen Q Who. And we have all of the trauma that happens to Picard's character in this, which I think is going to be coming out in this show, right? We've seen the trailer. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Borg in this show. So this is definitely going to raise some memories and some feelings out of Picard. So I think that this is probably the most important. That's why I put it on the top of my list for how this is going to affect Picard. And again, I'm so surprised to see the Borg in this trailer. Like I think that's why I'm excited for it so much. Is because I was not expecting that at all. I was expecting the Romulans. And while there are Romulans in it, I was expecting the priority of the story to be around Romulans. So to have this come out is totally shocking and has me really interested and excited. Because, you know, I just had an episode of Warp 5 released where we're talking about the Klingon augment two-parter in season 4. Mm-hmm. And I've said often that I don't really like the Klingons in Enterprise because I think they've gotten stale and boring, especially in Enterprise. That two-parter does a really good job of bringing the Klingons back to their essentials. While I don't like the explanation for the forehead ridges, I do believe that the Klingons that they got did a very good job. And I kind of feel that way about the Borg. The Borg got stale, you know, near the end of the Voyager run, you know, so... To see this fresh and new, I'm like, okay, this is going to be really cool, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And Best of Both Worlds is definitely essential. It's one of the pivotal episodes in Picard's entire life, right, that really affects him going forward. So absolutely essential, I think. Yeah.
And I say definitely watch it in its two parts and wait like an hour between, as opposed to watching the theatrical version, because it just goes from the Mr. Warfire, and then you don't have that. It doesn't have the same impact if you don't have to stop and go to the next one.
No, it definitely doesn't. I saw it in theaters when they released and I'm like, oh, that just, it's, it's not quite satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard people jokingly suggest, watch the first part, wait 3 months, then watch the second part.
No.
Not when you're already into it, I don't think. Yeah,
especially if you've already seen it. But watch the first part, make dinner, watch the second part over dinner.
The first time I saw Best of Both Worlds, I was a teenager, was on TV. I had to wait a whole 24 frickin' hours to watch that thing. Right? Because it was on some channel when I was visiting my dad in Vancouver, and they played Star Trek The Next Generation Monday to Friday at like 5 o'clock or something like this, and I put it on, and I'm just like, oh my god, that's... And I had to wait until the next day.
The next day. Yeah, I know.
It was horrible.
Now we're saying, like, just wait an hour. Just try to wait an hour.
It's like swimming. So. Just wait an hour to go swimming. But I want to swim now.
Nice. So for my first pick, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. You guys both had Borg-related episodes. I'm going to go with The Measure of a Man because Data is going to be in this Picard series, and I think there's probably a choice where it'll be important for Data as well later on, but I think The Measure of a Man is one of the essential things to kind of understand Data and how he has to fight for his rights and who he is and all of these considerations. Plus, it's one of the very best episodes of Star Trek. I mean, I think you could watch other episodes and get a sense of who Data is, but I just love that in that episode, they're kind of getting at who he is and what rights that he has. So that's my first choice. What do you guys think?
Good one.
I think that's an interesting choice because it's so early in the life of Data on the show, and he does change quite a bit. And, you know, it does focus more on Data rather than Picard. But, you know, Aubrey and I just watched this for our rewatch, and, you know, it probably didn't have quite the subtleties that it does with her. But, you know, when he makes that last plea, like it rips my heart out, you know, when he's confronting Maddox on the stand. You know, the way that he does it. So it is a very important episode for who Picard is and what he's willing to do to fight for the rights of individuals. So interesting choice. I like it.
That's true. I was thinking it mostly in the prism of Data, but it is important for Picard as well. And you're seeing like what a principled person is and how important it is to, you know, fight for the rights of all beings, whether or not they might be, you know, considered sentient or worthy of those rights at the time. I mean, Picard should have argued for the rights for the EMH, right? Maybe he would have gotten more out of it than just like authorship or something. But anyway,
we may find out he did. You don't know.
Maybe
that might come into it because you guys, the way you took this, that issue of Data's sentience, and we'll extrapolate to the Doctor's sentience. I wonder if that might play a part in how we're dealing with the Borg. Maybe that's going to play in. I mean, yes, they're starting out as biological life forms, and it looks like they're back there, but maybe there will be this question of individuality and whether or not they actually are separated and all from the collective and all of that.
It could be. But then, I mean, even bringing that up again, you know, three episodes ago when we were talking about the leaked news from this summer that Data was going to be on the show, and we're like,
we're like, no, that'll never happen.
That's never going to happen. Well, I mean, there's all this rumor going around right now that Robert Picardo's in talks to be on season two, right? So, I mean, like, maybe something, maybe there is something to that. Maybe as soon as he gets home, he's like, hey, Jean-Luc, you want to be my defense lawyer for, you know, for my buddies on this mine? Like,
right? That's actually one of the things that really bothers me that's unresolved from Voyager. Like, there's all these holograms that are toiling away in these dilithium mines. It's it's quite disturbing.
They didn't have unresolved plot threads in Voyager, did they?
Every Star Trek series has unresolved plot threads. I wouldn't put it on Voyager more than others, but...
Like, conspiracy.
I know.
So. In the books.
I know. I've
always,
that's
always the answer. It's in the books.
It's in the
books. It is for the Doctor, too, if I recall correctly.
It is. It kind of is, yeah. So read the books, people. Yeah, if you have time.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about our second picks then, Chrissy.
Well, since we were just talking, well, Brandon brought up Best of Both Worlds, I'll bring up Family. It's almost as if Best of Both Worlds and Family are just this lovely 3-hour episode that all go together. But certainly that is our first scene of the vineyard of Chateau Picard. So we need to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that was next on my list, so that's fine. I have a longer
list. Great minds.
But yeah, like I feel like if you watch Best of Both Worlds, that is essential to what happens to Picard and how it affects him going forward. But it's also important right after that to watch Family and to see him really try to come to terms with it and see what the family is like. And you're right, it's on the Vineyard, and we know that there's at least some scenes on the Vineyard in the Picard series. So it's important to kind of get that sense of who those people in his family are and how Picard deals with this trauma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, my second choice, and I never thought I would have put it here, but again, I put them in the order that I think they're important. So my second choice is Star Trek Nemesis. While I don't like this movie very much at all, I do think it's going to be pivotal for what we're going to see because it does lay the groundwork of what happened with Romulus a little bit. Plus it has Data's death, right?
Yeah.
And, leading into that plot thread as well. So I think there's going to, plus setting up where Riker, you know, leaving to the Titan, it kind of talks about that. And while it's, all of that is kind of stuff that can be just done in dialogue, and we understand that they've advanced their careers in the meantime, this movie does encompass a lot because it was the final time that we saw them on screen. So that was my justification for choosing Nemesis.
Yeah, I completely agree. I probably like Nemesis a bit more than you, but not as much as Amy Nelson, who loves the movie.
No one likes her.
but I think it is essential for a couple of reasons. I mean, you're right. It's Data's death, so that's kind of essential to know, to figure out like what the heck is going on with Data in the Picard series. It's also, you know, it is the last place really kind of chronologically in universe that you see all of these people from the Next Generation, and really the last thing that we've seen from the 24th century up until the Picard series. Not counting These Are the Voyages, because that happened or in season 7. Anyway, I think it is essential for all of those reasons. It's kind of where you've left these characters about 20 years before. I think it's important for Picard what happens there, and there's ramifications, important for Data and what happens there and ramifications. And Riker and Troy are going to be on this series, and it tells you kind of where they're at. So yeah, for all those reasons, I think it's definitely essential. What do you think, Chrissy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just if we're going to end up with B4 with Data inside of him, if that's
B4
how we're seeing
in
Data,
a drawer.
Yeah. And then there's the guy in the drawer, which we don't know yet.
Okay. Can I tell you my theory on that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Please.
Okay. So I think that is B4 disassembled. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And that they didn't know what to do with him. Like the android is not mentally capable of processing Data's memories. Yes, we had that song creep through at the end of Nemesis, but I think they've decided to put him in a drawer until they can deal with him. And this young girl that's coming to meet Picard has got some kind of information that helps them to fix Data somehow. Okay, I've heard a theory online that it might be Lol reincarnated. Who knows? I don't know that I buy that. But I think that this girl has done something. And then who we see in that scene of him playing cards with Picard as Data is B4. It's the B4 now with Data's program fully installed in him. And somebody's like, well, he calls him Captain. And it's like, well, yes, because when Data uploaded his file to B4, he was a captain, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good theory. The other thing that somebody noticed is that in like a little corner, you can actually see that it looks like it's Data in the First Contact uniform, which would cause them to believe maybe it's a hologram. I have a totally different theory that is probably wrong, but would be really cool, which is that Data gets brought back as a hologram and they have the ability to make mobile emitters, and he can have a mobile emitter to get outside of the holodeck and interact with the world.
That's cool.
What do you think of that? I think that would be quite interesting, actually.
That would be interesting to have him walk around.
I like
that. Again, I don't think Data is going to be in the series very much, at least not the first season anyways, right?
Yeah, I think from what Brent Spiner said, it sounds like Data will be there in multiple episodes, but just kind of like from time to time. And I think at the time that he was talking about it, he'd only shot scenes with Patrick Stewart. So it probably will be limited. But, I mean, Data is such like, I think, an important and beloved character in Star Trek, that it's still important for people to understand that and for us to talk about it, even if it's like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or something. Yeah, we're going to talk about it a lot, probably. But yeah, Nemesis for all those reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my second choice. So we've talked about the Borg. We've talked about Data. I think it is absolutely essential, since we know Hugh will be in this series, to see iBorg. First, because I think it's an incredible episode. I mean, it's really the first time that you're able to see someone who's Borg kind of separated from the collective and as an individual. And it kind of helps you to understand, like, who Hugh is and his relationships with the crew, with, you know, Geordi and Picard and Guinan and all of that. And I think it's just a great episode, and it's kind of essential for understanding who Hugh is, who we'll know, we know will be in the series. What do you guys think?
That was on my list too.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna save my thoughts for my next choice.
So okay.
I love iBorg. I think it's a great episode. And I have something to say when we get to my choice.
Okay, so Chrissy, I guess say what you say if it doesn't affect your next choice.
I'll concur on iBorg, and then I'll cede my time because I want to find out what Brendan has to say.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, but in the order we're going, well, maybe we'll break up the order a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I'll have to break it. I'll talk about it next.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to mess up the order.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
So, and then also I'm breaking up my list order, because technically this is, I put this one at the bottom of my list, but I'll just do it next here. So instead of iBorg, I actually chose Descent Parts 1 and 2 for, again, the reason of, yes, introducing Hugh would be essential, but I think that it's going to be more essential to see how Picard changed Hugh and how that affected the Borg. I think that's going to be more important to see than just being introduced to Hugh. So I chose that because I also, we've got lore, we've got Data, we got an important arc for them, right? So I think that's why Descent would be a little bit more important, is seeing where the Borg ended up, at least that small section of the Borg. You know, because in my head, you know, I think that this kind of seed may have helped implant things like Unimatrix Zero, may have helped Unimatrix Zero come about. You know, what he changed, how he changed Hugh, may have helped what happened to, like, make it easier for Riley Fraser and them, in that one episode whose name I can't remember right now, from
Unity?
Season 3.
Unity.
Thank you. So I think that that seed of what Picard did made those things easier to happen in the Borg later on. So I think Hugh in my head has way more, or sorry, not Hugh. I think what happened to Hugh has way more rippling effects than was ever really clarified on screen. And if I were to, you know, be Christopher L. Bennett or somebody like that and write this novel of what happened, then I would tie up all these Borg stories in a wonderful way. So that's what I would do.
You've made me think of something. And and I'll, if I'm wrong on this, correct me.
You'll eat your hat.
I will. My Niners hat.
Not your Niners hat. Good Lord. I'm not a maniac monster. No, just pick some ratty old.
I'll eat my Tigers hat then. So I can't remember what happened to the Borg that were on that planet at the end of Descent. It's been a long time since I've actually sat down to watch it, but we know they weren't all killed.
They all went to Ryza.
To Ryza.
Got a
I messed with the weather system. Yeah.
So I did watch Descent recently because I was watching all of these Borg episodes. So what happens at the end is basically Lore's leadership gets overthrown. He gets disassembled, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, Hugh is going to lead these Borg in some way. But you never find out after that, like, what happens or how he leads them or whatever, which I assume we'll find out in the Picard series.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking of. What if that's the warehouse where we see, you know, X amount of days since the last assimilation? What if those are the Borg that are left over from Descent?
Maybe. That scene looked like it was actually on a Borg cube that had been repurposed by some Romulans, but... I don't know.
But that just occurred to me that like, could be something that's wrapped up.
Yeah, but I think that, and we'll probably talk about this more later, but I think if they've announced that there are two characters who've been liberated from the Borg Collective, Hugh and Seven, that are going to be in this series, there's some story arc or some importance to others, I think, being liberated from the Borg Collective and how they deal with that. Or maybe there's some conflict or something with remnants of the Borg that are out there versus ones that are liberated. So yeah, it seems like that has something to do with it, but I don't know exactly how they're going to handle it. But yeah, Descent two-parter to see like where Hugh was at that point and the impact of Picard's decision is important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause they talk enough about Iborg, right? It comes up in conversation during the episode. So
it does. I was thinking, of Iborg more than Descent, because I think you get to see more of the change that Hugh goes through, and you get to know his personality and his character and his interactions more, because Descent isn't necessarily about Hugh. It's more about Data and Lore, and the Borg are kind of having this thing going on between the people that follow Lore and the underground. I see it as more of like a Data Lore kind of episode, but or two-parter.
Iborg is important, though, because we get the information that Picard refuses to commit a genocide. Mm-hmm. So that's an important, like, you know, we wouldn't have expected that he would have committed a genocide anyway, but this just shows that he's willing to essentially defy a standing Starfleet order, or what will become a standing Starfleet order, to destroy the Borg in any way possible.
And in Descent, Nechayev kind of chews him out for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But, you know, that the great thing is we have three top five lists, and it's a top 15, really. You can watch them both.
Yeah.
Like I said.
The Iborg, wasn't that the aliens on Spock's brain?
the Imorg. Oh, it's not too far off, is it? I never even thought about that.
Have you guys ever seen the Swear Trek version of Spock's brain?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If you're not following Swear Trek, if you're okay with swearing, then it's fantastic. It will make you laugh every time. And what that man did with Spock's brain is just, it is childish and asinine and wonderful.
You know, I'm going to change out my choice. I think instead of Iborg, Spock's brain is essential.
Nice. I love it.
It's all going to tie back somehow to
brain and brain. What is brain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a fun episode.
Spock's brain is not the worst episode of TOS.
No, it isn't.
No, it's definitely in the children's show lead.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but let's go back to episodes that you should watch for Picard.
Don't watch Spock's brain for the Picard show prep.
Yeah, it probably won't tie in too much. So, Chrissy, your third choice?
Okay, do I want to stick with TNG or skip over to Voyager? I'm going to jump over to Voyager and say the Raven, because this is where we get the first bits of information about what's going on with Seven, how Seven got to be where she is and what her family was doing.
So the Raven instead of Scorpion.
Well, Scorpion too.
My
list is not only five.
I see. Okay,
I guess if you have to choose between the Scorpion and something else, the Raven or Dark Frontier, then go with Scorpion, because that one makes more sense.
Okay.
In terms of where she came from. You have the introduction of Seven in Scorpion, of course. Mm-hmm. But how she got there, I think, is maybe not as important as the fact that she's there. But eventually this may play a role. Since we don't know what her role is going to be in the show, it may have something to do with the research that her parents were doing that put her in that place in the first place.
Interesting. I mean, it does give more backstory about her that you didn't know before. Mm-hmm. And Seven will be in this series. I think when I was at Star Trek Las Vegas, I noted at the Picard panel that Jeri Ryan was saying my first two episodes. So apparently she's in more than two, starting with the first one Jonathan Frakes directs, which is episode three. I mean, I think that she'll be more important to this series than Data. I could be wrong, but it seems like she has an essential role to play, and it is important to kind of understand her background. I'm actually going through a rewatch right now. I started with Scorpion, and I'm just going forward through seasons 4, 5, 6, and 7 of Voyager to watch before Picard comes out. And it's been super interesting just to see like her progression and how Jeri Ryan plays. I've always loved Seven as a character, but I'm just loving it more because there's like all these nuances and interesting things that she brings to the character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the Raven's a good choice. I mean, what do you think, Brandon, about like Seven being involved in Picard?
Oh my goodness. I was more excited to see Seven of Nine in that trailer than I was to see Brent Spiner in that trailer.
Same here, actually, even though I was excited about both. That totally took me by surprise. No rumors, nothing.
No, nothing. I couldn't believe it. And the reason why for me, it's so important is because it's validating more than just the Next Generation by doing that, right. You know? Yeah. Like, I love Voyager. It's not my favorite Star Trek series, but I still love it. And so many people, like, you know, they rag on Voyager all the time. And there's a lot of great stuff. Like my favorite episode of Star Trek is a Voyager episode. You know? Like, there's some really great stuff. Yeah, it's got some pretty low lows. Yeah, they hit the reset button a few many times. Yeah, they went to the Borg a few many times. But there's some really interesting things that I think could only have been told on Voyager, you know, with the crew that they have. So to see this validation of expanding and accepting the Star Trek universe, you know, I immediately tweeted out and said this, like, we're now getting the Star Trek universe. And then they've now announced it. The CBS merger is happening, right? Like people are talking online now what I was saying, and that we could have the next MCU, the next Marvel Cinematic Universe, except it's the Star Trek universe on TV and everything. And all of this stuff can be connected. We could see crossovers between Picard and Lower Decks.
Yeah.
We could we could see Picard show up on the Lower Decks.
That would be something. Yeah.
An animated Picard.
Absolutely. No, and I agree because it's great that we're getting Picard and we're getting these characters from the Next Generation, but I felt the same way when I saw that. I was like, this is great, acknowledging and expanding on Voyager. I mean, actually, it probably shouldn't come as a surprise because Kirsten Beyer is working on this show and she loves Voyager and has written all these Voyager novels, but it also makes me think, like, who else might show up? Might we see like Admiral Janeway, or could we see someone from Deep Space Nine? That would be really cool to like further expand it to another 24th century series. So I think I felt the same way. Like I was excited about the whole thing, but I was probably most excited in that trailer to see Seven, even though it was a brief scene, because I think she's a great character who tends to be fairly underrated as far as main characters in Star Trek, but there's a lot of complexity there. Mm-hmm. And actually, this probably brings me to my third choice. We've already talked about Scorpion, so, you know, it's kind of in the mix. But what I found when I was going through my rewatch, starting with Scorpion, is that Scorpion Part 2 basically ends with Seven, like, unconscious, right? Like, there's not a resolution. Mm-hmm. You're on Scorpion, then you're like, oh, let me go over to the Raven or something else. I think one of the essential episodes, if you're also watching Scorpion, is The Gift, which is the next episode. It's the one where Kes leaves. Mm-hmm. But I think of it also as the episode where Seven has to really adjust to this new reality. I'm not part of the collective. And like by the end of the episode, she's kind of like a little bit more. I mean, there's this ending scene where she's kind of like, all right, you know, I'll comply. I'll follow with it, but it's still kind of reluctant. And there's these other places in season 4 and onward where you see that reluctance, but it's kind of, I see that as like, if you just watch Scorpion, you're like, wow, you know, she is like super resistant and I don't know where this is going. She's unconscious and whatever. But like, if you see The Gift, then you see the start of that progression. And as we saw in the trailer, Seven is kind of different now. She's adjusted more to her humanity. Her speech patterns are more casual. So I think that's the real start of kind of the arc, like going toward what you'll see in Picard, which is somebody 20 years, some years later, who is kind of different and has adjusted to things, which I think is really fascinating. So The Gift is my choice.
Cool.
Very good. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I think that just, one gets, people forget that that's such a Seven of Nine heavy episode because it's known as the one where Kes leaves.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I think you forget about the Seven of Nine storyline that's in there.
Yeah, and in fact, like actually when I was doing this Borg rewatch, like part of it involved Scorpion and then going on to Drone in season 5, but I was like, wait a minute, like you need to watch this other stuff. So that's when I decided I'm just going to watch The Gift and just like keep going. And I have enjoyed it so much. I think you're right, Brandon, like Voyager isn't my favorite Star Trek series, but there's a lot of it I love. Some of my very favorite characters and episodes are in Voyager, and there are things they do there that you don't really see elsewhere. And I'm just like loving this rewatch. Almost every episode that I've seen like 13 of them now, I've just loved and appreciated more than ever before. So well, I think there's a lot of value to that.
Season 4 of Voyager is probably the best of the show, right? Like that was their peak, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. So... But yeah, like season 4 is phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's keep going. So, Brandon, you want to give us your fourth choice?
Okay, so my fourth choice, I actually chose Endgame from Star Trek Voyager. And the reason why I chose Endgame from Voyager is, you know, for the most important thing, in that we see the Chakotay 7 relationship.
That's the most important thing for me, you know. Okay, let's have a little detour here.
Clearly Robert Beltran is going to be on this show.
Right. Yeah. You make fun of it, but I actually really like that relationship, which I am definitely in a small minority. But there are
How do I hang up this thing?
I know. I actually said on Twitter, which I've said on Earl Grey, I like most of the relationships in Star Trek. And somebody actually tweeted back like, I think you violated the terms of service of Twitter. I'm going to report you now.
Well, yeah. No, which I laughed at. That's, you should be
it's
ashamed.
It's a crazy opinion, but it is.
Shame.
Absolutely how I feel. But no, what's the real reason you put Endgame on the list?
Because it wraps up the Voyager plot line. We're going to see 7 of 9 in our quadrant. So we do get a lot of information on Seven and her interactions with the Queen. We do kind of get a satisfying resolution to the Borg storyline, and it is the last time that we see the Borg on screen, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, we might get a reference or two
not as
to
far
Voyager.
As air date.
Pardon me?
I said chronologically, but not as far as air date.
yes, yeah, right, because we had Enterprise.
Arctic.
I'm sure we're going to get some references from 7 of 9 about at least one or two references to Voyager, right? So I wanted to, as a new viewer coming in, I wanted to expose them to some Voyager crew, which is why I chose that episode. But, I think it's very, I think that would be the best one. I mean, there's so many great, there are some great Borg episodes in Voyager. There's some stinkers, right? Like most of them, but. You know, I like Endgame. I think it's one of the better ones. I know that a lot of people don't. And the only reason I don't like Endgame is because they go through that wormhole and then it's done. Like that's, we needed some kind of resolution like Deep Space Nine had, like this 15-minute epilogue. That's what we needed and they didn't give it to us. And that's what was unsatisfying about Endgame. But I think the rest of it is just fine in my opinion. I love Admiral Janeway and I love what we see in there. I don't know. I think it's a great story myself. So, and we get Alice Krieg, back as the queen, which is, I think, the right queen to have, you know, and so that was why I chose Endgame.
Okay. What do you think, Chrissy?
Oh, I very much agree. Yeah. And that's going to be a way to get Kate Mulgrew in too, potentially, as they're referencing that, the events of Endgame. Mm-hmm. So.
And we saw her in Nemesis, which was on my list.
Yeah, and she was in Nemesis. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I'd love to see Admiral Janeway in the show, and I hope that she has at least a little cameo that we don't know about yet. But I think Endgame, you're right, it is a good choice. I mean, Nemesis kind of is the last place where we left the TNG crew, and then Endgame is the last place where we leave the Voyager crew. And I like it as well. It's not my favorite series finale, but I think it's better than some, but I like it quite a bit, actually. I watch it and I'm like, this is some good stuff. They actually did some like really interesting things in here. It does focus a lot on the Borg, but I tend to like most Borg episodes. So it works, but it's also, I think, going to be very, it'll be very important because the last place that we see the Borg, as far as the chronology, is that Janeway has done all this and the Voyager crew has done all this damage to the transwarp conduits that seems to cripple them in some way. So that could very much lead into the Borg being more fragmented or where we see them with some liberated Borg or whatever in the Picard series. So I think that is absolutely essential. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're going to go find Hugh's Borg, and then they're going to create that collective that we see in the preview.
Mm-hmm. And then Neelix will have been assimilated in the meantime, and then we'll get Neelix, right? And he'll have liberated himself. So, because they couldn't handle his spicy cooking. They're like,
the only thing they eat is Leola root soup.
Yes. Yeah. I have to say, if Neelix appeared, that would be one of the more unlikely. But, Brendan, like, just a little tangent. What do you think is the most unlikely character we could possibly see in this show?
I don't know. At this point, Guinan would be the most unlikely. Like, I don't know. Really? I don't think that's very likely at all. But I would love to see her. But I don't know. Like, there's so many characters that are unlikely to see it. Yes, Neelix would probably be the most unlikely, you know. Benjamin Sisko is also very unlikely to show.
And Sisko is unlikely for a real world reason, which is that Avery Brooks doesn't seem interested in coming back anyway. No. So yeah. I think that would probably be the one where if that happened, I would be like, how did they convince him to do that if he was done, right?
Well, if they could convince Patrick Stewart to come back, if they get a good enough pitch, they could convince Avery Brooks to come back, I'm sure.
That's true.
Michael Dorn to put the makeup back on. He said he never would, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe that's season two. Let's talk about season two already. I don't know.
Let's do it.
It could be Picard at Bajor. You know, he's got a special relationship with the Bajorans. That'd be great.
Let's dip into our time machine and see the trailer for season two, so we can see the top five episodes to prepare for season two.
Yes.
I mean, oh my God, can you believe that we're getting one of those dead crewmen from Q Who back in season two? I mean, wow.
I can't believe how essential imaginary friend is to season two of Star Trek Picard.
Yep. Yeah.
Sarjenka out there with her radio again.
No, that's Pen Pals.
That's Pen Pals.
Imaginary friend was that little devil girl, the blonde devil girl with the red eyes. She's like, you're mean to my friend.
Whoa, everyone listening is yelling at me right now. Oh. Brain fart. Okay.
And we're back, and I've changed the timeline so that imaginary friend is not important to Picard season two. You're welcome. So, Chrissy, your fourth choice?
I'm going to go for the obvious and say First Contact. Because, you know, Borg and Picard.
Because Borg. Yeah,
that's kind of what we've come down to. No, but I actually do think that's going to be relevant. If for no other reason than it is the last time that we see Picard dealing with the Borg. And there is also the issue of Data and his relationship with the Borg Queen, or whatever you want to call it. And I doubt that the issue of Data with the Borg will play in, but it's possible. No. But the idea that that's the last time that we see Picard dealing with him, and he seems to have come to a point where he is, I don't know if reconciled is the right word, but he is definitely, at peace with what he has had to go through with them. Maybe at peace isn't the right word either, but you get the idea of what I'm saying.
Totally.
There's resolution.
That machine gun. Ah!
I don't think he's at peace. He's trying to deal with it, and I think it does come back in the books, which I think makes sense.
I think
it's something that he had this trauma. He dealt with it somewhat in family. He deals with it somewhat in First Contact, but I don't think it's anything that he can completely ever really like kind of just get rid of and not think of again. I think that experience is always going to be with him in some way, and it'll be interesting to see how they might portray that. If the Borg are important, that's going to bring back all of these memories and things maybe he hasn't thought of for a while. But I love First Contact. It's my favorite Star Trek movie, so I'm always happy if people are going to watch that. But you're right. It is an important interaction, I think, with the Borg, and I think it's important to understand how that can affect him and the extremes it can take him to sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, so, you know, we've talked about Picard and the Borg and Hugh and Seven and Voyager stuff and TNG stuff. I'm going to throw one in there that, even though it seems like maybe it's less important now, I think will be essential, and that's unification. Because we haven't talked much about the Romulans. So, and the reason that I say that is, I could be very wrong about this, but I think that there's some way in which the destruction of Romulus is going to cause the Vulcans and the Romulans to be closer together and possibly unify at some point. I've always actually wanted to see that. I thought it was a fascinating idea that they put in unification that, you know, we'd known since the original series that there is some relationship between the Vulcans and the Romulans left Vulcan some time ago and they diverged somewhat. But I've always been fascinated with the possible idea of them kind of coming together and reunifying. And what better time to do that, unfortunately, than after your homeworld is destroyed and you need some help. So I think unification, for the most part, is a really great two-parter. It's amazing to see Leonard Nimoy as Spock in TNG. And I think it's a great Romulan episode. It's a great episode with Picard kind of trying to thread this line of, you know, I want to be supportive of this thing, but it's also kind of dangerous and we really need to be careful with what we're doing here. I think it's fantastic two-parter overall. And I do think even though in the trailer that we've seen, the Borg seem more important, there's a lot of Romulans in that trailer. And I think Romulans will still have importance. And unification is one of those markers of importance along with Nemesis. So you kind of see a little bit where they are in 2009, I guess, with the destruction. But yeah, anyway, I had to put that on my list because I wanted to put in something with the Romulans and I thought unification was a good one.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of unification. I mean, I think it's overrated because Spock's in it as an episode. Like, they're fine. I like them a lot when I was a kid because of Spock being in it. But as I've gotten older on my rewatches, I'm like, these are okay. I mean, the thing that I like best about unification is Spock's tie-in line to Star Trek VI. Like, that's really the only thing that I like about it the most, you know? So, yeah, sure.
Chrissy, what do you think about unification?
Unification is one of my most favorite episodes of Next Gen, so... Yes, anytime, as you said with First Contact, anytime you can get people to watch Unification and then, you know, go ahead and watch Undiscovered Country right after, that's a good thing.
I mean, as the marketing people intended it, right?
Yes.
Like, watch it, and then a month later, watch Star Trek VI.
Yes. What I meant to say, Chrissy, is that unification is amazing, and I would gladly put it on this list. That's what I meant.
It's okay.
I chose the wrong words.
No. It's good to have a diversity of opinion. Like, for unification, I think overall that it's really good. I think where it falls down a little bit is Sela getting foiled again. But we explained that on Earl Grey that she's part of Section 31 and supposed to fail anyway. So it's fine. But yeah, that part's a little weird in how she leaves them in a room. And she's like, all right, guys, we're going to walk away now. Don't do anything with the computer terminal over there. So that part doesn't work. But I think it's great. And I think this whole idea of unification, which they didn't really follow up on too much on screen, and they followed up on somewhat in the books. I would love to actually see that reunification happen in Picard.
Yeah.
Probably not, but I'd like it. And because we are seeing all of these Romulans, okay, another side note about the trailer. I noticed, actually, it seemed like we saw three different kinds of Romulans. We saw TOS-looking Romulans, we saw TNG-looking Romulans, we saw 2009-looking Romulans, which I think is great because they can acknowledge that they're, like, different variations in the species. And that tells me that there is going to be, like, a focus on, like, more of the diversity of the Romulan culture, which tells me that there's something important there. But it could be wrong. What do you think?
I don't have enough time to watch a trailer that closely, so that's crazy that you noticed that.
I tend to read a lot of analyses where people look at this like frame by frame, but no, like take another watch and you will see, I think, like three different kinds of Romulans.
There's one with a shaven head. I noticed the last time I rewatched it, and then there's the guy that looks like an elf.
Yeah.
And then there's
a woman that actually looks kind of like the female Romulan commander from the Enterprise incident. She looks like a TOS Romulan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool because in TNG, they all have ridges for some reason or other.
We need to have more diversity within these different groups of people, and then people will stop complaining that the Klingons look slightly different.
Yeah.
Humans look slightly different too. Just deal with it.
Yeah. So anyway. Well, that was my plea for a Romulan episode. Let's go to our fifth and final picks. So, Brandon?
Okay, so my justification for this pick here is because it encompasses so much of the show, is I chose All Good Things as my last choice. And I chose it because it's the last time we see Picard on TV. But we also see him at the beginning of his voyage. Mm-hmm. And we see him in the future. And while I'm not the Beverly Crusher Picard shipper, it talks about their relationship and where it could go. Yeah. So it encompasses so many elements in one episode that it's like spreading your fingers everywhere. Cause you got Q, you've got Tasha, you know, like you've got everything in this episode. So, that's why I chose it. Just because, again, it gives us a little bit more about Picard everywhere. And then we see how he's changed with his crew as well, right? Yeah. Where he was closed off before, and at the end he's finally like, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I do this? I should have been playing cards with you guys for the last 7 years. So, or, well, six, because it was introduced in season two. So,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. I had a chance to watch it recently, and, I mean, All Good Things is just such an amazing finale. And it does encompass so much, and it's such a great retrospective, so that if you haven't seen, you know, the 170-something episodes before, and maybe just watched a couple that we're recommending, it really does give you an idea, like, here's where it was at the beginning, here's where it is now, here's where it could possibly be in the future. It's just such an incredible, like, reflection on all of that stuff. So, yeah, I completely agree. It's just an amazing set of episodes, and should be essential also because it gives a possible future. It's going to be different in Picard, but it makes you reflect on his character and where it could have gone. What do you think, Chrissy?
I agree on that one. You also get to see the difference between makeup, putting Patrick Stewart in makeup to make him look older versus what he actually ends up looking like. You know, so that's fun to compare. But yes, it does give you that nice overview. And again, you got Q, so that's great. Can't beat Q episodes. So yeah.
Yeah. And
I really can't
Q, add we haven't talked about him much.
I don't think he's gonna play such a role in this show.
That's what we said about Data.
I don't think this season, but I'd be willing to bet he shows up at some point.
I don't know, I doubt it. Yeah.
Okay. I will say because we're
wrong before. That's my unlikely choice. I think we get Neelix before we get Q.
Neelix before we get Q?
I don't agree there. But
I don't know about that. Right. You know what? I'm going to say it just because we were wrong about Data. Q's going to be in this show. So in case he is, I was right.
Well, fine, then. I'm going to say it. Neelix is going to be in this show.
Neelix is going to be in the show. Okay. I'd like that. I like you, Brandon. I really like Neelix as a character.
Neelix is my favorite character on Voyager. I love me some Neelix.
I expect to see Alexander Roshenko as an ambassador, then that's fine.
Yeah. By the way, I can't find it now, but there was a picture that Michelle Yeoh had posted with some different people like involved in Picard and Discovery. And one of the people in the picture was Denise Crosby. Maybe she's going to be in the show. I don't know. Or maybe she was nearby or whatever. But like, I saw that and I was like, huh. Okay.
Well, we are Sela's
coming back. Seal will come back,
Romulans.
Yeah. And that might tie into the Section 31 thing if you're...
Well, let's not speculate too much. She was just in one picture, but I think it's interesting to think about. All right. So then, Chrissy, your fifth...
All right. I'm going to go way out in the field here and say, since we're dealing with Data and we have an android in a box at some point, Data Lore. Because explains... You know, that Data is not unique completely, that there was a process to creating him, that there are these other androids out there. So there's that. So that's kind of assuming that Data is going to play a little more important role, but I'll go out on that limb.
Okay. Data Lore is an interesting one because I think when I first saw TNG, I really enjoyed it, but I've come to maybe have a few problems with it now. But I think the idea...
Who are you?
Who am I?
I know you.
Is Data Lore like your favorite episode?
It's not my favorite, but I love it. I think it's great.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty good, but I think that Lore ends up sometimes being like a one-note kind of character, with a few exceptions. I think in Brothers, he has some complexity and interesting things there. But no, Data Lore is interesting, and Lore is one of those unresolved things. In Descent, he's disassembled, and you just don't see him again. Will Data talk about him, or will he show up? I don't know. But yeah, it does tell you more about the duality and that there's more out there. There's lore and B4 and all that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see that, but interesting choice.
I love Data Lore. It's a great episode.
Okay. So, I've struggled a bit with my fifth choice. So, I'm going to have you guys make the choice for me, not knowing what the choices are. Huh? Should I go with an episode or a movie?
Episode.
Yeah, I'll say episode as well.
Oh, all right. So, let's go with Chain of Command. Mm-hmm. The Chain of Command two-parter, I think, is... I mean, it's one of the greatest things in Star Trek, especially the second part. But I think it's important for preparing for Picard because, yes, you see him assimilated by the Borg. And, yes, you see him go through a lot of other difficulties in the episodes that we're talking about. But I feel like, in some ways, Chain of Command is the place where Picard gets tested the most. Mm. Because he's under these terrible circumstances with Gol Madred. He's being tortured. In the end, he doesn't tell him that there are five lights. He forcefully says there are four lights. However, there is that part at the end where he's talking with Troy in the ready room, and he says he was actually ready to say it. He was actually kind of believing it in that point because it had broken him down to such a level. So I think that it tells you a couple of things about Picard. Like, he is someone who is very strong and can take maybe more than most people, but he's still a human being. I mean, that has his vulnerabilities, and that showed in The Best of Both Worlds. And when he talks about in Family, like, he tried really hard to resist, but he just couldn't do it. And in this case, in Chain of Command, he like almost cracked. So it makes me think about what he might have gone through in the previous 20 years when we see him in Picard, and also makes me think of what kind of trauma he might have gone through or might go through. So I think it just kind of helps to broaden out like what you see of his experiences and what kind of a person that he is. So what do you guys think?
It's a great episode. It's what really got me into Star Trek. Like we said in the first episode of The Line, like that's the first episode I saw live. And I think it's one of Picard's important moments in his character for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, you can't not include that if you're talking about Picard and his character.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and yeah, so I picked the episode, but can you guys guess what the movie was I was considering?
Generations?
Yeah. Because I thought about it and I was like, yeah, there's more about, you know, Picard's family and what happens to him, and there's this experience he goes through. But actually, now that I think about it, I think, sorry, fans of Generations, but I think Chain of Command is more essential probably to understanding who Picard will be in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generations is the best Star Trek movie, so watch it whenever you want. wait, best Star Trek The Next Generation movie.
Best TNG movie, yeah.
I'll accept that.
Yes, and First Contact is the second best TNG movie. Thank you. It's
fine.
My favorite Star Trek movie. But anyway, okay, so great. I mean, we've gone through 15 episodes. I think we really covered a you know, large swath of stuff. Well, I mean, let's just talk about our final thoughts here. So what is going through this process, like, tell us about what we're thinking about the show and how we're preparing for it, Chrissy?
Well, I guess we're thinking a lot about the Borg. Now.
yeah, it would have been a different list a month ago, probably.
Absolutely. A month ago, we were talking about his involvement with the Romulans and all of that. None of us said none of us said Star Trek 09 as an essential, although
I was thinking about it, and I did slip a reference in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it did get brought up.
I thought about choosing that, but...
But yeah, so I think that's just, we're still focused on Picard, but I think we've branched out a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know now that 09 is going to play as much a role as we thought. Like, I think the reason why we all assume this is because that one teaser trailer said Armada, and this is post the Hobus Supernova that was established, right? So,
but Alex Kurtzman, I think, did say that there is some importance to the destruction of Romulus. So
yeah, we are dealing with some.
See, here's the thing. we saw a teaser trailer and we saw a 2-minute trailer that was focused on some specific things. There's nothing in there that says that the Romulans aren't important. This one just chooses to focus on the Borg. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible the Romulans could be just as important, and this is like a little delving into some other part. But we've seen like a couple minutes of something that's going to be like 10 hours. So, you know. Yeah. I think they will be important.
Yeah, but if you look at the Discovery trailer for season 2, mm-hmm. right, it was all about what is the Red Angel and what are these red beacons and stuff like that, right? Because, right. you know, like that's the primary stuff that was established early on, but that's also mm-hmm. what the whole arc ended up being about for the whole season.
Yeah.
Like they are going to tell you what is the most essential plot points of the season.
I will just say there is more than one there will be more than one essential plot point. It will be more than just the Borg. Yeah. I could be wrong, but that's
we're going to get the episode where Neelix has to bake a pineapple cake for Tom Paris.
Not Malcolm Reed, pineapple.
I thought you were going to say like Reed's descendant.
Okay. Don't talk about Enterprise. Well, just kidding. I love Enterprise. I host more.
You know what? Regeneration is going to be the most essential episode for Picard.
Regeneration.
Well,
all right. Well, I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say, you know, we are assuming that there's going to be one overall plot to all 10 hours, and that may not be the case. There may be a few episodes that deal with a Romulan thing, and a few episodes that deal with a Borg thing, and a few episodes that deal with something else. So
it could be. I mean, even within Discovery season 2, there were episodes that were more focused on let's say control mm-hmm. than the Red Angel. So, you know, that can happen, but I think we don't know what's going to happen. But
I just really, we'll honestly, I hope there's just the one of the Borg. Like, honestly, like I like Discovery, but it's a mess. Like, there's just too much going on, and they had too much going on. Even in season 2, while there's a lot of great stuff in there, they were all over the place with all of their plot lines. They need to focus it down. They need to tighten up their storytelling. That's what 10 episodes needs. That we've been told that it's 10 episodes out of Picard. They've got to lean that story down. It's got to be tight. You can't be trying to do all these crazy stuff, because then it's just going to be another mess. I don't know. Like, it's got to be tight. Well, it's got to be tight.
You know how I feel. I completely disagree with most of what you said there, because I love Discovery and all the places that it went. But yeah, like, I think that they, in 10 episodes, they do have a little less space than 14 or 15 episodes like Discovery. So, yeah, I can definitely see that. But I think that they are learning from all of these experiences that they've had with Discovery and the short treks and all of that, and that I think it's going to be great. I'm just there for the ride.
So they could be doing separate storylines too. That's what I was saying. You know, you could have the first two episodes mm-hmm. are about this, and then that leads into what the second two episodes are going to be about.
There's a 2-episode arc with Riker on the Titan.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason it couldn't be. Then we could have, so to speak, the best of both worlds with episodic and serialized. Mm.
See, you're kind of making a joke, but honestly, what you guys are describing is what I would like to see. No, like, if you look at a show like Walking Dead, right, where I think season 4 of Walking Dead was its peak, and Game of Thrones, they have episodes where they focus on one character's storyline. You may not see this character in this episode because we're focusing on this character in this episode. And they still mm-hmm. tell the same story. Yeah. The season was one story, but rather than so much cutting in between different AB plots, you focus on this plot for this episode. And then episode 2, you focus on that plot. And episode 3, you focus on that plot. And then they build towards each other for that climax.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I would like to see that kind of storytelling. So if Riker and Troy are essential to the plot, then do an episode that's just them on the Titan and how that advances the plot towards the end game of the season.
Yeah, I'd absolutely like to see that. I think both types of approaches can work, but you're right. It would be different than what we've seen on Discovery, and I'd be happy to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, also, listeners, let us know your picks that weren't on our list. I'm sure there's many of them, possibly, or what you think of what we picked, because, yeah, I think it's fun to think about this and what is important to prepare for Picard, the series we're so excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Well,
should we recap the lists?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Actually, recapping is a good idea. So, Brandon, what were your 5?
Okay. And so...
Take a note, listeners. Write down these lists.
Write down these lists. So, Best of Both Worlds, Parts 1 and 2, Star Trek Nemesis, Endgame, All Good Things, and Descent, Part 1 and 2. I think that gives the each of those episodes, they have enough tendrils that go off in enough directions that they cover in spirit more than just those five episodes that they're talking about. So that's my my essential list for new Picard viewers. Yes, you miss a lot, but deal with it. Go back and watch it.
or it could be for somebody that has seen all of this stuff but just wants a short list of stuff to watch. Mm-hmm. So
well, then watch Conspiracy and Deadlock, and because those are my great episodes.
Yeah, watch all of his favorite episodes from every series.
Alternative Factor, you. Where No Man's Gone Before.
No.
I don't think Where No Man Has Gone Before is a controversial, like...
Original Star Trek? Yeah. That's my favorite episode.
No, as I'm saying, that's not controversial, though. The rest of the ones you gave were kind of controversial.
Deadlock's not controversial. That's a great episode of Voyager.
I think people generally like Deadlock and Conspiracy.
See, I thought you were trying to make a joke, I stepped on it. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Ow! All right. Ow, you stepped on my joke!
I'm so sorry.
So, Chrissy, you want to recap your five picks?
Sure, yeah. Okay, so I don't know if this is the order I gave, but Q-Who, and then First Contact, Family, Data Lore, and Voyager's The Raven. And then we both had agreed on my board.
So my five were The Measure of a Man, Iborg, Chain of Command, Unification, and The Gift, although really Scorpion/The Gift, because they go together.
Yes, well, in that case, Tech, Family, and with Best of Both Worlds.
What if Kes's gift was a scorpion? Like, she just opened it up, and then it, like, flew at Janeway and, like, stung her.
Well, who knows? Maybe it was actually an energy scorpion that pushed them 10,000 light years.
Like a, what do they call it on Harry Potter? A Patronus.
Oh,
Kes's Patronus is a scorpion.
Expecto Patronum.
It's been so much fun talking about our picks for five episodes or movies to prepare for Star Trek Picard, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
Is this the supernatural Klingon episode? What is this going to be? And then it just turns out to go in and dig your own time crystals, State Park. I mean, it's like, okay.
Larry, you go in there and there's a basket type thing there, and you put in your 10 quatloos and you get 60 minutes to dig your time crystal.
Darsecs.
Yeah, actually the Klingons want Darsecs, don't they?
Yeah.
And you go in, and actually however many time crystals you can dig in 60 minutes, you get to keep. But the catch is they're time crystals. So 60 minutes to one person is only a minute to someone else.
Literary Treks.
We have the conversation between Pike and the Starfleet Admiral Terrell about the specifics of why they were kept out of the war. This is even before we're in a situation where they have no choice but to stay out of the war. They couldn't go back if they wanted to. By, you know, sort of setting up the milestones in the story for this is about when this is happening during season one. You know, that allows us to tell our own independent story within that. But yet also you'll always know where you are in the regular TV show.
Earl Grey.
That question about whether life exists, either yes, it does, because like enough time has elapsed and there's enough planets out there, or no, it doesn't, because we are that race.
Oh.
That seeds life elsewhere in the universe at some point.
The other
in the
answer is it did, but they all destroyed themselves, you know. But that's also kind of unlikely that you'd have lots of civilizations all doing the same thing and destroying themselves, I think. But
to the journey!
And the seven that's all I could think about with that
this
one.
This is the Seinfeld in space episode.
I keep waiting for Elaine to show up.
I'm trying to think of what Jerry Seinfeld would say in Jerry Seinfeld's tone of voice inside this episode. Can you do a good Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, good grief, no. Not even close.
I'm trying to think how I would approach doing a Jerry Seinfeld impersonation. It's not coming to me. He's got that super high-pitched da-da-da-da-da kind of, I don't know, kind of voice.
Well, that you did really well, the da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, there you go.
Why don't they just warp out of here?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, please be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or on the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. That helps others find the show.
And if you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Windows Phone, and in most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. And listeners, if you aren't going there to provide us feedback, you should. There's a lot of fun conversation going on.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Justin, where can people find you when you're not looking for Neelix in the Delta Quadrant?
Ah, Neelix. Maybe he will be on the show. I don't know. Maybe we can start a campaign and get Ethan Phillips on the show.
That'd be hashtag cool. Get Neelix.
I mean, he was the holographic waiter in First Contact, so maybe there's a way for that character to reappear. And we can get Ethan Phillips anyway. Well, when I'm not thinking about that, you can find me elsewhere on the network, co-hosting Earl Grey. That's our dedicated Next Generation podcast. With my friends Amy Nelson and Joe Keegan, we have a great time talking about the Next Generation every week. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook. So, Chrissy, where can people find you when you're not wondering what happened to Lore after Descent?
Well, and I think that is a good question. Answered in the books, by the way. It's still. But in addition to here on the line, people can find me in the Babel Conference, of course, and on Twitter at The Goddess Livia. That's TheGoddessLivia. And you can also follow my work as an historian by liking the Facebook page run by my fellow historian partner and I, History with the Zilagis. And that's spelled S-Z-I-L-A-G-Y-I-S. And there I post about my historical research, and that includes my blog and short podcast, Ancient Aliens is BS. And I go episode by episode debunking that History Channel series. And Brandon, where can people find you when you're not trying to make people make lists on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella, where all those lists are. And I'm having a lot of fun over there. I've been doing a lot of threads lately about looking for people to put GIFs for their favorite Star Trek series. Like, I'll pick a Star Trek series and say, post your favorite GIF. So that's been a lot of fun. You can find me here on the network with Warp 5 with my friend Patrick. Over there, we talk about all about Enterprise. Lately, we've been doing a lot of our movie nights because we're planning on wrapping up our movie night series by episode 200, which it's done. We recorded all of them. So I'm very excited that that's done, because that's been a whole heck of a lot of fun. And we're rapidly closing on episode 200, which is already recorded as well. We did a wonderful interview with Judith and Garfield Reeves Stevens, speaking of the books. We didn't talk too much about the books, but it was a wonderful interview nonetheless, because they did work on season 4 of Enterprise. And you can find me over on the Fanda Podcast Network with my friends Chris and Tom. We have a show called Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and we talk about all of Hitchcock's films one at a time. And yes, coming out this month in September here, I guess it is, we have Rebecca, our episode on Rebecca. So that's a really good movie. And last but not least, my friend Zach from Standard Orbit, he and I have a show called Franchise Fatigue over on the United Federation of Podcast Network. And over there, we go through all the movies and sequels and remakes in a series of films, and we go through them one at a time. And right now, we're leading up to Terminator Dark Fate. So just before with you guys there, I just finished watching Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. So I'm having a lot of fun revisiting those movies. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
And before we close out, I want to say, listeners, who wants to be the first associate producer for The Line? Go over to patreon.com/trekfm, donate at the $25 a month or more level, and say you'd like to be an associate producer. We would love to have you.
I want it to be Ethan Phillips.
Ethan Phillips. Yeah, he listens every week, right? I mean, he's our biggest fan.
Well, so, we are advocating for him to have more work, so.
So join us next time for another episode of The Line.
You can only choose 5 episodes.
My girl's name is Sonora. I tell you, friends, I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Now jump into line. Rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump into line. Rock your body on time.
You've just made anybody who's listening this far very happy. Because things are only impossible until they're not. One of those dead crewmen from Q Who back in season 2.
I can't believe how essential. Oh, damn it, my joke's gonna fall flat. Give me a second. Give me a second to tell my joke. I gotta look up this. Just bear with me.
It's all right. Didn't mean to go in a weird direction there, but I actually do think it's possible that we might end up dealing with the Bajorans, but. Later on.
I think it would be great if they had some kind of DS9 tie-in in some way. Some character, somebody. But
okay. Here it is. Why can't I remember the name of the episode?
Wait, can you describe it?
We've just come back from the future, and I can't believe how essential Imaginary Friend is to season 2 of Star Trek Picard.
Yes. Yep.